Welcome to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims, live here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can download free app on any electronic device and search WWGH. Now you can find that app in your Play Store, whether you're on your cell phone or your computer or your laptop. Go to Play Store, type in the app you want, or tell Google what to download. Tune in, and once you do that, please search WWGH, and you will have the advantage of having WWGH at your fingertips, okay? And you can take advantage of the many talk show programs we have to offer you. If you would like to call in while we are on the air, like right now, until 5 p.m., please call 740-383-9944. If you have any questions or would like to make any comments concerning the topic that we will be talking about. And this is the 110th day in the year of 2021, and there remains 255 days. So if you have not made plans to take that summer vacation that you said you was going to take this year, you still have time to make arrangements.
If you have the money.
If you have the money, Jeff says. Okay.
You do have to have the money.
That's also a stickler in it, right?
Yeah, it sure is.
All right.
You want to borrow it, that wouldn't be too great.
But, you know, during this time of COVID, don't we want to do something? Go somewhere?
Why not? They were saying on TV that the airlines are so crowded now and the highways are so crowded. Because people are like, oh, I'm getting out.
Wow.
You know, but I never stayed in myself. I just got in my car and went places, you know.
Yeah. Well, we were considered, like the media. We didn't have to close down the radio.
Well, yeah,
essential.
Radio.
We were essential. I would like to give a shout out to the Jones family. Give them our condolences from WWGH. On the loss of Wilma Jones, Tim Jones, he is a regular on my show, and I did not want him to think that I had not thought about this and putting it out on the airways. Please reach out to the Jones family with prayers, thoughts of love, and see what we can do to help ease their bereavement during this time. Also, this show is supported by Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, Logos Christian Ministries, and Inspect Ohio. I like to start my show off with a thought for today. Let's see what that thought is. It's titled, Talking to the Self, which Jeff does a lot.
Yes, I do. How'd you know that?
I think you told me once before.
Yeah, talk to myself a lot?
Yeah. When you talk to yourself in your mind...
Not necessarily.
Which self do you address? And how? Usually, people do not talk to their divinity, but to the most superficial aspects of their everyday personality. And often, it's a stream of fears, complaints, and a mindless repetition of old things. If we walked away to another human being, we would have to apologize. If we talk that way to another human being, we would have to apologize. Learning to talk properly to the self is a spiritual endeavor. Thoughts from the past and worries about the future do not create good conversation. Instead, learn to talk to your mind as if it were a child. All right? Talk to it with love. If you just force a child to sit down, he won't.
This person needs some counseling.
Okay. You made me lose my spot. Talk to it with love. If you just force a child to sit down, he won't. A good mother knows how to prompt her child into doing what she wants. A good mother, to your mind, teach it good, positive thoughts so that when you tell it to sit quietly, it will.
Sit down or die.
Love your mind. Stay happy. Oh, that was a good one, wasn't it?
Yeah, I talk to myself a lot. I say, what do you think? I don't know.
Oh, you go that far with it?
Yeah.
Wow.
What?
Okay.
Answering myself?
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes. And sometimes it's good to talk to yourself. Keeps you from, it lets you blow off steam and stuff.
Right. That's true. That's true. Yeah. Absolutely.
You get mad and you yell at the walls and stuff. It helps. As long as the wall don't get mad.
Yeah. When I was younger, I used to break dishes.
You did?
Yeah, I used to break dishes. I liked it, the sound of the clatter.
Well, didn't your mom say enough's enough?
I was grown.
You broke your own dishes?
Yeah, I used to do that.
Okay.
All right. We're going to move on.
I'm glad that helped you. It might be a bit expensive.
Yes, it would. Yes, it, and it was. You know, because you had to replace all those things. The voice you hear other than mine is Jeff Porter. He is the author of Expressions of the Last Days. I was listening to Rod Parsley earlier, and he was talking about the devastation that is going on every day as far as hurricanes and volcanoes and the locusts that were so bad last year in 2020, you know, that it's in...
That's been going on for a long time.
Yeah, proportionate sizes. And it's like every day these volcanoes are erupting.
The one in St. Vincent's.
Right.
And there's another one, Iceland. Yeah. The one in St. Vincent's is the one they're really concerned about because it is exploding big time.
Right.
A lot of people still, I think they decided to evacuate the island.
Did they? Okay.
And, but, if you remember reading about or seeing any documentaries about an island, it was a volcano island, is what it was. It's called Krakatoa.
Oh.
You heard of that, haven't you?
Maybe.
And it blew up like an atomic bomb. I think it was out in the South Pacific somewhere.
Or in the ocean?
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, kaboom! Big giant explosion, and the ash came down and killed people, you know, and other islands and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it was so bad. It was like Pompeii. The ash kills you because you just ain't got any air to breathe, you know.
Those are expressions of the last days.
Yes,
even though
they
we've
are.
Been in the last days for thousands of years now, almost three. Close to it.
And like I said, I believe that the virus was a strong warning. A reflection of what's to come, you know.
It hasn't gone away yet, you know.
No.
Still around.
I got yelled at in the theater the other day. I forgot to put on my mask. She goes, "Do you have your mask, sir?" Then a friend of mine went to a record shop. This is used kids' records in Columbus. You can still buy vinyl. As a matter of fact, that's all they've got is records.
Okay.
Yeah, and me and my friend were looking around at the records, and the clerk came over, and we forgot our masks. You guys want to put on your masks? Okay, all righty then. You want to pull it up over your nose? Yeah.
Well, there's no use in having on a mask, and your nose is still open, and you're still breathing in all the fumes, and pushing, not fumes, but smells, germs, and you're pushing germs out. So you need your mask.
I really question as to whether that mask is doing any good. I mean,
oh yeah, remember?
Viruses are microscopic. They go right through that mask.
Well, some of them so thick you can't hardly breathe, so I don't know how much
I don't know.
Through
it. You know, people buy these fancy ones that look like a tiger and... You know, look like
the leopard,
a person looking at you and all that stuff. Flags.
Yeah. They got all kinds, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting.
Well,
some of them are kind of scary.
Yeah, we had to do something to make it fun and fashionable, you know. So, wow. Okay, then. That was a good opener, talking to the self.
Have you got your mask? Remember
yeah,
we were talking, we
had
masks on in here?
Yeah, at the
last
location.
Yeah,
we had to have them on. See, we're in our own building now, right?
Yeah, we don't have to do that.
At our own risk.
I'm pretty risky. You know that because congestive heart failure has the same symptoms as the virus, so I wouldn't even know if I had it.
Wow. But you would know you needed attention.
Yeah, I'd medical probably have attention. To go to the hospital.
Yeah, absolutely. Get absolutely. Pumped. And we talked about disappointments, and you said you had on your mind.
Well, I just was watching. It's funny you should bring that up, disappointments, because that's what I... if you have a calling on your life, and God spoke it to you a long time ago, it could still be a long time still until he calls you out, you know.
True.
Now, I don't know why God does that. It's like he did that with Moses, he did that with Abraham, he did that with Paul. Paul was in the desert for a long time, and wilderness, whatever you want to call it. And that's where he molds you. You know, I could say I know why, because he's trying to get some more perfection into you.
Absolutely.
And that's hard to do with us humans. We're pretty stubborn, you know, trying to get the sin out of you.
Right, and only he knows when you're ready.
Yeah. And so, even so, Moses wasn't perfect. Like I said, you know, he struck the rock. He kind of lost his temper and struck the rock he wasn't supposed to, you know.
Right. And there's all kind of things that can happen in our life that leads us to disappointment. That's just one of the things when you know that God has called you to do something. And you're like, well, when, God? When can I go do this?
Yeah.
You know, and where do you want me to do this at?
Waiting is very, very difficult.
Yeah, who
do
you want me to talk to? When you want me to do it, right?
Yeah. But, when are you going to start using me? I'm sitting here, I'm not doing anything.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's so much study. There was so much study that it involves. God requires that of us. To know that word, you know, he requires that of us. And
I don't know it as well as I'd like to. That's for sure.
And then some things that you don't use, you kind of lose it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can't. Yeah. You be wanting to recall it and it won't come. You know, like, how did I lose it?
Well, I was talking, I ran into a guy in Bucyrus at that Lulu's restaurant Sunday, because it's always crowded in there. But this guy over here was a security guard. He is a security guard at VITM.
Okay.
And there was this guy that was teaching Bible prophecy. Remember him? And
no, I don't know if I do or not. Do I?
You know him. Chuck?
Chuck. Oh, yeah. I know Chuck.
Okay. I don't want to say his last name.
Well, you don't have to.
And I was saying that this guy, he has a photographic memory. And I was sitting there in that narrow passageway there drinking coffee or something and talking to somebody. And he said, so what did you talk about the last time you were on the radio? And I said, I talked about the Yom Kippur War. When Israel, I was talking about Israel having war with its neighbors in modern times.
Mm-hmm.
And he named off all the wars in modern times. He had them all memorized.
Did you get upset with him?
Yeah, I did a little bit, because he did that on purpose. He was mad because there's a lot of people that think if I talk about the radio, which I'm getting, so I don't talk about it much in church.
Really?
Because they get jealous.
Wow.
They get weird and act. They think I'm boasting. They definitely think I'm boasting.
Really?
And I've told them many times, I said, it's a very small radio station. It's something that God just has me doing right now. Not everybody does the same thing. You know.
True.
Everybody don't have the same calling.
That's true.
You know. Some people do things that are not their calling. But anyways, he went on and on naming off all these wars. You know. But I thought the Yom Kippur War was very significant, because all these Syrian tanks, thousands of them, were coming towards Israel. Israel only had like 3 or 4 tanks out there because it was during Yom Kippur.
Mm-hmm.
And they were partying, you know.
Right.
And they were having all these ritual stuff going on. And all of a sudden, here come all these tanks. Well, that's why Syria did that.
Because,
you know, they were on vacation. Fortunately, it only took a couple hours for Israel to mobilize.
Mm-hmm.
But they had like 3 tanks and one that was broke down. But they could still swivel the the barrel around.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And they ended up, as bad as that was, with the just not ready for nothing out there, they still ended up winning that war.
Good.
You know, one of the reasons why is because their tanks were so superior and had much longer range, you know.
Okay.
They could take more than one hit, usually.
All right.
So they were able to destroy most of those Syrian tanks, you know.
Okay.
That was a miracle.
Yeah?
There's no way they could have won that, you know, if God hadn't intervened.
Of course. Of course.
And so we can, you know, usually when God calls us to something, he lets some bad things happen to you. You know, you get, I remember this this pastor, he said he was, I think he was working in a factory or something before he was a pastor, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit came in and said, today I want you to quit your job. That would be really hard, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would be.
That would be so
very
hard.
Very hard.
Especially if it's a job you're used to and you got this routine going. And so he went home and he thought, nah, that wasn't God. I don't think so. So he got home and his wife, who never said stuff like this, came up to him and said, you know, I'm quite sure the Lord said to me that you're supposed to quit your job. So he quit his job, and then all of a sudden he got cancer. And he had to go through all kinds of surgeries and stuff. He said, just didn't make any sense, all the weird stuff that was happening, you know.
Right.
Financial ruin and all this stuff. And he said, it took a long time, but he finally defeated the cancer. And eventually he did become a pastor and became an evangelist, you know. And I thought that was amazing because here I am. A while back I had post-traumatic stress and cataracts and who knows what else. And I was smoking really heavy and I was coughing and carrying on. All of a sudden God delivered me from smoking, from post-traumatic stress, and I had cataracts too. He got me to the right doctor and they did the cataract surgery. And I thought, oh, wow, I can see. You know, the colors were so amazing after getting rid of the cataracts, you know. And so then right after that, I had a heart attack.
Wow. Wow.
And somehow that led to diabetes. So now I have congestive heart failure and type 2 diabetes, you
know. And I'm sure that led to a lot of disappointment, you know, because
it did, because I thought when he delivered me from post-traumatic,
mm-hmm.
and all that, he was getting ready to put me in the evangelism he's called me
right.
to. No such thing. Have a heart attack and now I'm, you know, I'm limited in how much I could walk, and I've
right.
been getting better, though. My heart's much better than it was.
Well, good.
And diabetes is doing better. But, you know, it's better. It's not completely healed yet. So.
Right.
That is very, very disappointing. I heard another story about this guy. He said that he had a church going out in the country or something. And his wife and kids were his congregation for a long, long time. Then nobody came to that church.
Hmm.
And he said he would just, you know, this went on for years, he said. And finally he said, you know, this is it. I'm quitting. You know, I don't blame him. I mean, you know, that's how I would feel.
Right. All the disappointment.
Yeah.
The discouragement. Yeah, absolutely.
And all of a sudden, one day, that church just, people showed up and the place was full.
God didn't want him to leave.
No.
He didn't want to discourage him that much.
No.
You know, to walk away. Wow.
So, I know how he feels. I've felt that way many times, and I've had God lift up my heart again. You
right.
know?
Absolutely. And, you know, there's a lot of people with disappointment in today's world because of where we are today in our world. It's just
yeah.
disappointing, you know. Like, just like we're talking about the virus. We think it's time to take the mask away, and it's time to put it back on because there's resurges here, resurges over there, resurges in New York, Kansas City, California. You know, it's like, okay, now they're looking at 2022. But, you know, that's not the first time that was even mentioned. When it first started, they said it could take at least a couple years before we can get back to normal, right? But, see, we're in such a hurry, we forget about that.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, we're in a hurry. We want things, like, right now happen.
That's America.
Yeah, and I was thinking about Naomi in the Bible.
Oh, yeah.
How disappointed she was. She lost, they left Bethlehem and went to Moab, right?
Yeah.
Her husband died. She lost her two sons. Then she had to go back home. You know, she said, don't even call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara. God has dealt bitterly with me. You know, she was just bitter.
Yeah.
You know? And
look at Joseph.
And Joseph, absolutely. But,
you
know, do you think he really got that disappointed? Have you ever watched that movie, Joseph and His Brothers?
I don't know, but I would be if I was down in a well.
In a well, absolutely.
In a well, they put him down in a well just because they were jealous of him.
Yes, his own brothers.
Yeah.
And then sold him.
Sometimes your own family is your worst enemy.
Yeah, sold him for 30 pieces of silver, just like Christ was sold by Judas, right?
And he thought, it'd be a great thing if they saw this shawl, you know, with all the colors and everything.
Yeah, they were jealous.
They were totally jealous of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know.
And jealousy is as cruel as the grave. That's what the word says.
Oh.
That's what the word says. And that's pretty cruel, isn't it?
That is.
They were willing to kill him, but his older brother, Judah, said, "We will not kill him," you know. So, thank God for Judah,
Oprah
right?
Oprah said that she didn't want to believe in the God of the Bible because God was jealous.
Who said that?
Oprah.
Jealous of what?
He would God, he's jealous of other gods. People worshiping other gods is what he said. So he was jealous for our sake. In other words, he was saying, you know, run off to other gods, fine, go ahead, but it isn't going to get you anywhere.
And not only that, it's just like you. You're married. Do you want your wife running after other men?
Exactly.
Yes, he's jealous. You know, he tell you, I'm so jealous, my name is jealous.
Image.
Yeah.
You
know. Why would we be running after Baal, who's a statue, can't talk?
Yeah, that's what he said. He said you run after these gods of stone and wood that can neither talk nor walk.
No, can't do anything for you. Why?
And they ran after them because it's something you could see.
And people faithfully do this 3 or 4 times a day in front of Buddha.
Yeah.
And they pray and give up their offerings and the rosaries and all that kind of stuff.
Give up your job,
you know,
too.
Yeah. So, not only can people be disappointed, we can disappoint God with our actions.
Yeah.
You know. And that's really saying a lot. So, we're going to say disappointment.
So, that's how Ishmael got here.
Yeah.
And that was a huge mistake because
we're
still paying for it. You know. The whole Arab nation came about because of that.
That's true. That's true.
The whole Arab, all the Arabs, you know, came from Ishmael.
But the longest war is Esau and Jacob. I believe that war still goes on.
Yeah?
Between the brothers right now.
Well, they did reconcile.
Oh, that was just a facade. That wasn't real.
You don't think that was real? That,
according to the Bible, it wasn't real.
Hmm.
It wasn't real because God says that when they came, when Babylonia came to conquer Judah, that Esau or Jacob, Esau knew it and wouldn't help. Didn't say a word.
Yeah.
That's why God says, Esau I hate and Jacob I love.
Because
of that right there. Now, I'm trying to think of what book in the Bible it is. But it's in there because I read it. It's a short one. Yeah. Why do I hate Esau? And he sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. That's what God said.
For a bowl of soup.
Yep. Didn't even mean anything to him to be the firstborn.
Yeah. He was all hairy and macho man and everything.
He was a hunter.
Jacob was mama's boy.
Yep, smooth skin.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it just goes to show you, God can use his mama's boy.
He uses anyone he wants.
Yeah.
You know?
He uses the weak to overcome the strong.
Absolutely. Yep. It's like, okay, so then I thought about Pharaoh.
Yeah.
I'm sure he was very disappointed when Moses was bringing all them plagues. He couldn't move. He couldn't get out the way.
Do anything.
He was fighting against his gods. God was fighting against the gods of Pharaoh.
I like it when
Egypt.
He says, his God is God.
Very powerful statement, wasn't it? Absolutely. So,
he should have gave it up long before that.
I know. Because it lost his son.
He lost his whole army.
Yep, and his whole army. Sure did. Did Pharaoh drown also?
I don't know. In the Bible? I don't know. I don't think it really even tells us.
Yeah.
But he would have been at the head of his
army.
Army, and he probably would have drowned.
Yeah.
I would think.
Yeah.
And I have heard it said, I found this little book one time. Actually, it was when I was unsaved. It was talking about how archaeologists and researchers have found chariot wheels and helmets and spears at the bottom of the Red Sea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They showed that on TV. I just saw a documentary on that.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
I remember my grandma Porter. She was concerned about me because I was an atheist at the time, you know. I said, did they really find all that stuff?
Mm-hmm.
The bottom of the Red Sea? She said, yeah, apparently so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's covered with all that rust and mortar from
stuff,
the bottom of the ocean.
The sand
at
the bottom of the Red Sea. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how they found it. Must have been divers.
Well, you know.
They might have been looking for it.
Who knows? Because they want to prove that it was untrue.
Oh, that it was untrue.
Yeah, of course.
And then they found that stuff that proves it.
Right. Just like the mountain of Moses. It even shows where the fire burns on top of the Moses, the mountain, the burning bush. It shows that. It shows the rock that they believed that Moses struck in the water, forced through the rock on the mountain. So they are, and then they claim they found Noah's Ark.
Oh, yeah, and I've read a lot about that. And I have a documentary about how different people have found it before and, you know, took pictures of it and stuff, but they think that some of it broke off and slid down the mountain a ways, stuff like that.
Well, the last one I saw, I know it was last year, it was very convincing.
Really,
it was more or less... Yes, it was more or less in the side of a mountain. That mountain, like dirt was in it, you know. And it showed the exact measurements of the boat. You know, no hub on the top.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, you know. You can find all that stuff on YouTube. You have to call up Google and say, Google.
Mount Ararat.
Yeah. Show me Noah's Ark on Mount Ararat. And it's that bing.
Oh, yeah, I've looked that up. But I read about that. About these people, there were some people in Turkey that knew where it was and knew how to get to it really easy, because, you know, it's their area, you know, it's their home area, and they took a couple of people up there. But I think I don't think God's really revealing it entirely, because, you know, you need to be humble in order to really find out about the Ark, you know, up there.
Years have gone by that is really kind of manifested itself.
Yeah.
So that makes me think, in my thinking, that the end is even sooner than we think. Because that was one of the last things. Hello, caller. You are on the air. Hello? Oh, they hung up. That's okay.
I'm disappointing.
Tulsa, Oklahoma. Maybe they'll call back. That's what it said.
It called from Tulsa?
Yeah, it said Tulsa, Oklahoma. Let me read this. Disappointment is the feeling of dissatisfaction that follows the failure of expectations or hopes to manifest.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Bill Thrasher suggested another definition he once heard. Disappointment is God's way of dimming the glamour of the world and deepening our ability to enjoy Him. All right.
So, before I got saved, I was still in high school. I think I was in the 10th grade. And my best friend stole my girlfriend. I went on a camping trip, and he went over there and charmed her into his life, you know. And back then, I just had this policy that if she's going to do that, then, you know, go ahead. I'm not going to fight over you, you know. I wanted to punch him out just because he's supposed to be my best friend.
Right.
And you can steal somebody's girlfriend, but not your best friend's girlfriend.
You know, they talked about that at the singles conference, which didn't you didn't make. Oh, yeah, you missed a treat. It was nice.
I forget why I couldn't go to that.
You went to the thing the church had.
Oh,
Young at Heart.
Young at Hearts. Yeah, I should have went to the singles thing. Was it fun?
It was fun.
Really fun, huh?
Really fun.
Should have went to that.
Yeah, you should have. Really educational. A lot of people were there, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah, it was nice.
What else did they do?
They talked about everything. There was
really?
Nothing that... Yes, everything.
Huh. Sounds interesting.
It was.
Well, anyways...
And he took your girlfriend.
Yeah, and that was, you know, and I was kind of tired of school. So I dropped out and joined the Army. That played a big part of it, that guy stealing my girlfriend. That is not a good feeling.
No, it's not a good
feeling. Somebody steals your girlfriend or your...
Or your boyfriend. It's not a good feeling.
No, it's horrible, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you think, your girlfriend, I thought my girlfriend, she betrayed me.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And so did my best friend.
Yes, and I'm like David. Contend with them that contenders with me, Lord.
Yeah, really.
Deliver me, Lord. Strike them down
well,
right now.
she got lupus later on.
Oh, wow.
And he's got diabetes really bad. And I saw him at Perkins a while back, and they married. And he has diabetes really bad. And somebody told me that he was in a electric wheelchair. But I don't know. He wasn't in one there. Maybe he just can't walk for very far. I don't know. But I thought, you know, the past is haunting me. I quit talking to him after a while, you know.
Well, we started with disappointment, so I'm sure the past will come up. Things that really disappointed you.
And so later on, when I went in the Army, I didn't know. I went in the Army the day I turned 17.
Oh, wow.
I got my GED in there, though.
Did you? Okay. That was a
but
good thing.
I was in El Paso. I didn't know who I was. I didn't realize that until I went in the Army, because the Army jostled me. Made me realize that I haven't figured out who I am. So I had to go through all of that. And all the Army's not at all like you think it is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I started finding out who I was, or who I am, later on, but...
That's a life's journey right there, finding out who you are.
Yeah, because, you know, you got to find out what you like and what you don't like. But I was just very unstable for a long time in there. It's a wonder I lived through it.
And this says, of all our emotions, disappointment can hit us the hardest. It's a form of destroyed hope, delayed expectation, failed plans, and abandoned dreams. Think of a young woman whose boyfriend leaves her, a couple whose hope of pregnancy is crushed, an actor whose show is canceled, an entrepreneur whose business fails, or a high school student who doesn't make the team. Sturdy faith processes the disappointments of life and recognizes that if God doesn't allow us to achieve a goal, it's because He has a different and a better plan. Disappointment can be God's way of showing us a better way. Yes, that takes raw faith, but we have an unfailing God.
Mm-hmm. If you can get through that disappointment, you'll make it.
The Lord allows us to go through disappointments, not to frustrate us, but to lead us into a greater intimacy with Him and giving us what we really desire. Because when you go to Him because you're disappointed, who else are you going to go to?
Yeah.
You have no one else to go. You can complain all day long to other people.
And they can pat you on the back.
Yeah.
I'm awfully sorry about this.
But only God can soothe us and heal us, you know, from those type of disappointments. And just like he had your girlfriend, but God had another plan for you.
Yeah, you know, that guy came back and told me that he did me a favor because that lupus was hard to deal with.
I bet it was.
You know.
Yeah, because, you know, that's a pretty bad disease that lupus is.
I knew him at the Nazarene Church, and he has since denounced his Christian faith.
Really?
Has left the church, and now is an unbeliever, walking around on earth. Gave it up.
I heard Joyce Meyer say today that is considered blaspheming the Holy Spirit.
When you give up your faith?
What you just said.
After you've been born again and get the outpouring of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and have the light of God in you and then turn right around and walk
again. That's what she said. I heard her say that today. That is considered blasphemy of the Holy Spirit.
I think it is, yeah. Now, I don't know where God draws the line, but I've known people that backslid and came back to the Lord, though.
That's a good thing, though.
It is a good thing.
They didn't
stay
out there.
It's the same thing. But this guy, he taught classes. He did a lot of stuff in the church, you know, to be giving it up like that.
Wow.
He would probably...
Disappointments.
Well, he was disappointed with me not talking to him, not being his friend anymore. But I was friends with him after that. And they got married. Then when I got out of the army... I got saved in May of 1978, and we were friends for quite a long time after that, but he just kept doing dishonest stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he had a computer business going with, computer repair business. Mm-hmm. He became a computer fanatic, and he was repairing people's computers. And then all of a sudden, he just gave that up. But the people wanted him to put like a new motherboard in their computer.
Mm-hmm.
And he would go buy a new motherboard and put an old one that he had laying around in their computer and keep the new one.
Okay.
You know, what is that all about? You know, and I saw him do stuff like that just constantly, and he finally gave it up because he's afraid the law is going to catch up with him. You know, somebody's going to figure him out sooner or later, you know.
Right.
Which they would have. That was back when the internet was just barely had come into existence back then.
Wow. Never know.
Went to Marion Tech and I took courses in different writing programs and desktop publishing. Stuff like that was fun. I enjoyed that. And then I got a computer myself. It was really weird having a computer.
Yeah.
That's when I started writing my books. Because it was so much easier than a typewriter.
Right. So I'm going to read this. This is Romans 5, 1 through 5. This has to do with disappointments. And we had just read, and the Lord allows us to go through disappointments, not to frustrate us, but to lead us into a greater intimacy with Him and giving us what we really desire. Because evidently we don't know what we really desire. We think we know, right? So therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation, and this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. And that's Romans 5, 1 through 5. So, disappointments lead us closer to God.
You know, you may have a calling on you that started off as a whisper Eventually, God reveals to you after years what you're going to be doing, and then nothing. For a long, long time, it doesn't seem like anything's going on.
I know.
And that can be very frustrating.
I'm sure, because look how long, like we were saying earlier, how long David had to wait to be king. I think he waited 30 or 40 years, something like that.
And chased around out there by Saul.
Right, trying to kill him.
Yeah. Saul. What a guy, man.
Like your friend?
Yeah. Oh, what a great, great guy. Thanks, friend. You're such a good friend. Could you pull that knife back out of my back, please?
I know that right. That's right.
I remember so right. I went camping, and some of my relatives showed up at the campsite, and the girls, there were some cousins there, came up to me and said, Rick's running around with your girlfriend. Oh.
You know we're out of time, right? You have to talk about again.
Yeah. What, about him stealing my girlfriend?
Yeah, you have to talk about that next time.
So many years ago.
You're on a roll right now, though, right?
It is. It's 4:59.
Yeah, it is. Thanks for such a great show.
It was a good one,
wasn't
it?
And I enjoyed your stories, and talking about disappointments is where we all find ourselves in our walk of life, right? But it leads us ultimately closer to God, and it should.
Buy something and get it home and it breaks or something.
Yeah,
and,
like it.
Oh, man.
But we're out of time. Next, thank you for listening to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims here on WWGH 107.1 FM Radio.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion,
that's
Ohio.
That's exactly what they're talking
place
about
to
at
talk. From broadcasting legends Charlie Evers and Marianne Michaels. Marianne, what, 30 years in Marion City Schools?
Yes.
Did you ever think you'd live to see the day?
No, no. I mean, that was atrocious, I think. Absolutely horrible. No, never had anything like that. I'll tell you what, I can't ever think of a student that I didn't like.
Yeah,
and I mean that sincerely.
Well, you know, it's funny though, because Mary Ellen Withrow was in here last week, and we talked about Hillary, and she said one of the biggest obstacles she will face is because they're harder on women.
They certainly are.
They get older than men.
Yes.
Yeah. Hillary needs a new hairdo, though. I'll say that.
See, you would never say that about a man.
No.
You would never say a man needs a new hairdo.
And that upsets me, Charlie.
Yeah, why would you say
Hillary,
that?
Hillary, her hair isn't very creative. I mean, sometimes just long, straight long. And she could look a million bucks better with a good hairdresser.